God exalts the humble, but he humbles those who exalt themselves. After, it wasn't until after I surrendered to Christ that I found that peace that passes all understanding and that abundant life that Jesus said he came to give. And I have found it to be overflowing in my life. I am a different man. I walk a different walk. I live a different life, like night and day, from what I was walking back in those days. And I would not trade it for all of the stuff in the world. Oprah can keep her billions. I wouldn't take a dime of it to trade what Christ has given me. Praise God. In Christ. Now, I'm not saying that the storms don't still come. Christ said, in this world you'll have tribulation. Yes, the storms come. Yeah, sometimes I wake up and the things I face during the day are like, wow, okay, how are we going to get through this one? This is novel. Just when I thought I'd seen it all, here comes another storm. But I will testify, as God is my witness, in Christ I have found the strength and the peace and the stability to stand strong through those storms. And the foundation holds. It does not crumble. It is firm. I can plant my feet there. And not only that, but I have his promise, Christ's promise, that when this life is done, I don't have to come back to face more storms over and over and over and over again, infinitely reincarnating and going through this whole thing again. When I check out of this life, I'm going home, people. I am going home. Does your heart cry out to be home? Isn't there something inside of you that knows there is something that is real and true and awesome and fulfilling that you could almost just reach out and call it home? That's where I'm going, because Christ has prepared a place for me. I'm not coming back here over and over and over to get turned into some, you know, frog or grasshopper or, you know, some other thing like that. Somebody said just recently, he was talking about reincarnation. He said, you know, here you have a snail hoping to become, you know, reincarnated to something bigger. How does a snail do better in life so he can come back as a dog or a cow? What, does he make a more perfect slime trail? What does he do? That's ridiculous. I'm not going down that road, but, you know, praise God. I'm going home. I have a place prepared for me. And every day brings me closer and closer and closer to that time. I can't wait. Praise God. Jesus said the thief doesn't come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Do you want life? Amen. Do you want abundant life? Do you want to wake up and feel joy over what the Lord has in store for you today? Do you want to go to sleep and have peace about what the Lord had in store for you the other day? Praise God. Yes. Lord, give us life. We want you, Christ. Jesus, we want you. I don't have to go anywhere else. Glory. Now, you might be saying, okay, well, John, you know, I hear what you're saying about this course. Okay, yeah, there's some problems, you know. But maybe you find yourself thinking, you know, but honestly, I maybe you might be thinking, I have a hard time picturing Oprah as a thief and a robber. You know, I just don't believe that her intentions are to steal or kill or destroy. She just doesn't seem like that kind of woman. She's a little bit nice. Nicer than that. You know what? Actually, I agree with that. I don't believe her intentions are to steal or kill or destroy at all. But I absolutely believe that the spirit who has deceived her, that Satan is absolutely out to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he is using her very effectively for that end. Now, let me close by pointing something out. Along these lines, check this out. Jesus said, he who comes up some other way is a thief and a robber. Did you know there's a difference between a thief and a robber? You know, on the surface, it sounds like, well, yeah, it's a bunch of, you know, a bunch of con men just trying to get over, a bunch of guys who just, you know, want to take what you got. There's a difference between a thief and a robber. Actually, I learned this in my insurance studies, you know. They told me there's a difference between the two different risks. And then I'm fascinated to find it's in the Bible. And you look at the two Greek words, one for thief and one for robber, you will find that it actually bears this out, the way it's used throughout the New Testament. A thief, let me just ask, anybody want to take a stab at what the difference is between a thief and a robber? Good, okay, so you're on the edge of your seat waiting for me to tell you. Okay. Are you ready? Here it comes. A thief comes in secret. A thief will sneak in. He will use stealth and deception because he doesn't want you to know that he is stealing from you. He comes in through the window. He sneaks around. He takes what you have and then slips out the back door, hoping that you will not know that he was there. He is sneaky. He is deceptive. He is smooth. And he uses stealth and deception to get what he wants. Okay, that's a thief. On the other hand, a robber comes by violence. He's not sneaky. He's not deceptive. He simply takes out a gun and points it at your head and says, "You give me what I want or you're going to suffer the consequences." Nothing sneaky about that. All right? I'm not sneaking around. Do you see what I have? Please see what I have, because if you don't give me what I want, I'm going to use it against you. That's a robber, okay? I would never do that to you, Brie. God bless you, sweetheart. It's a fake gun anyway, you know. Actually, I should give this to Heather because it was her birthday party that we used it for. Anyway, that's the difference between a thief and a robber. A thief comes by secret and deception. A robber comes by violence. Say that with me. A thief comes by secret.
A thief comes by secret.
A robber comes by violence. Now, why is that important? Well, because that is exactly how Satan operates. That is how he conquers the people he wants to conquer. First, he comes as a thief. First, he comes with a tickling tongue, trying to tickle ears and tell people exactly what they want to hear. He is very smooth. He is very deceptive. And people do not realize they are being lied to. They are being deceived, and he tries to lead as many people astray as possible in the beginning. First, he tries to amass a crowd, and he does so by deception, by deceit, by stealth, in secret, flattering people, tickling their ears, and telling them the things they want to hear. No, you don't have an alcohol problem. This is people just getting on your case, man. They don't know you've got all these things under control. There's no such thing as sin. You're not a sinner. You just have some issues. Deep issues. You wouldn't have done that if you weren't already a victim of somebody else. You're not really a bad guy after all. Don't people want to hear that? Isn't that, you know, oh, yeah, and God is never angry. There is no hell. God is never angry with anybody. God loves all people. So he comes in by stealth and by deceit and by trickery. And then, once the lie is widely accepted as the truth, once the masses have as a mass bought into the lie and considered that to be normal, then the truth is believed to be abnormal. And then at that point, he comes in like a robber to demand with repercussions that you bow the knee to what the masses believe. He says, "Now you bow the knee to me or I will kill you. I will take you out and your family." He rallies the support of the deceived and uses their numbers against those who have been marginalized, the believers. He uses them to ferret them out, to arrest them, and to kill them, and to destroy their churches, and destroy their ministries, and destroy their families, and destroy their resources. And it's happening all over the world as I speak. If you live in Indonesia, that's what it's all about. Now, right now, Satan is acting as a thief through Oprah, because she's so popular. Everybody loves Oprah. And she is speaking smooth words to deceive people, to tell them what they want to hear, to tell them there's no sin, there's no hell, God is never angry, God is a God of love. He accepts everybody no matter what they're doing or who they are. He will even accept a pregnant transvestite woman parading as a man. God loves this person and accepts them without hesitation, if you've seen the pictures. And when enough people have bought into this lie, and Christians, particularly in this country, are held up with contempt and held out to be hateful oppressors and narrow-minded bigots who are standing in the way of progress, standing in the way of truth, who are causing people all kinds of psychological damage, who are a threat to the community, then he will come out boldly as a robber and will demand that you bow the knee to the current philosophy or suffer the consequences. And mark my words, this is what will happen. This happens over and over and over and over in society. Hitler did not first come out boldly. Nobody would have believed him. They thought he was on the lunatic fringe. He was a nobody. He was a marginalized person. And so he began to tell the people what they wanted to hear. In Germany, there was untold poverty. The financial situation was crumbling. The value of their money was going through the floor. And so he began to tell people, you know, it's all because of those Jews, man. They messed us up back in World War I. We're suffering the consequences. That's exactly what people wanted to hear. They didn't want to hear that their finances were messed up because of something they did. Blamed it on somebody else. And he became hugely, wildly popular. And then once he had the masses together, then he threatened to destroy anybody who stood in the way. And he did. There was using one brigade, I forget the name of them, some kind of red shirt or some kind of brigade, that he used to bring himself into power. And as soon as he got into power, he rounded them all up and slaughtered them. He comes in first as a thief, second as a robber. And it is time for the church to be the church. Amen? Amen? It is time for us to stand up and be the voice and proclaim the truth. Because if we don't do it, who is going to do it? We are the ones God has commissioned and called to proclaim the truth and declare the whole counsel of God. Whether people will hear us or not, we need to make our voices heard or we will no longer be able to speak what is the truth, and our voices will not be heard. Now is the time. Christ has called us for this. We don't have to be afraid of this. We don't have to be timid about this. It matters what we believe. Do you believe that? It matters what we believe. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Are we the church? Yes, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be bold, Lord, and proclaim the truth to the world, God. Give us the power and the grace, Lord, and send us, God, to be the truth, Lord. Praise God. There is a rock of ages, and it will not crumble. It will stand. It is a sure foundation. You can plant your feet firmly on that rock. Amen? Amen.